Not that she wants it removed. You'll still be stuck with the choice soon enough to join Samael or die.
Then I'll die, said Magnus.
You won't, said Ragnar with a sigh. No one chooses to die when there is a choice to live. You rationalize. You justify.
Magnus said nothing. There had been a change in the dead air of D.U. Where before all had been stillness and oppressive silence, now a slight wind had picked up. It blew faint white noise into the silence and unpleasantly hot air in irregular gusts around Magnus's face. Ragnar noticed it too, his head lifting when it started. But after a moment his eyes returned to the ground and he resumed walking.
So, Ragnar said, Max.
He cleared his throat.
Your son.
He's named after Alec's brother, Magnus said. The one who was killed by Sebastian.
Ragnar gave him a wry look.
Did you know Samael showed up in the first place because he was trying to reach Valentine Morgenstern's son, Sebastian? Lilith suggested that Samael seek him out. Said they had similar goals. Anyway, apparently Sebastian was dead well before Samael could have found him. That would have been interesting.
Interesting is one way to describe it, said Magnus.
He paused.
Ragnar, one thing that happened that you probably don't know.
He just had to say it quickly.
Raphael. He died.
Ragnar stopped walking, and Magnus stopped beside him. All around them blew the faint, dry wind of D.U., smelling of iron and char.
Valentine's son, Sebastian, Magnus said, he took over Edom.
Oh, I know, Ragnar said, his eyebrows raised. I didn't hear the end of it. You think Samael would be here if he could be in Edom? He loves it there. But Raphael...
Magnus took a deep breath.
Sebastian was holding us both prisoner. He ordered Raphael to kill me. Raphael refused.
Sebastian killed him. He looked at Ragnar, who appeared to be going through all the stages of grief at once. His expression flashing rapidly, stunned surprise, sorrow, anger, thoughtfulness, and back.
He was paying back his debt to me, he said, for saving his life.
Ragnar took a long breath and collected himself.
Every war has a body count, he said bitterly. And if you live long enough, you'll see too many friends become part of that body count. Poor Raphael. I always liked him.
He always liked you, said Magnus.
I get the sense, said Ragnar,
after a moment of silence from both of them, the roar of the hot wind of D.U. the only sound in the world,
that it is a good thing that Samael wasn't able to meet Sebastian.
I don't know if they would have been able to collaborate, Magnus said. Neither of them are exactly good team players.
How did you come to adopt Max?
It's a long story, said Magnus. Which? I will tell you in full, once we are safely out of hell.
Well, tell the short version,
Ragnar said impatiently. He began walking again, and Magnus followed.
Another warlock baby abandoned, said Magnus flatly. Another horrified parent. They left a note that said who could ever love it.
Ragnar snorted.
The oldest warlock story.
He was left at Shadowhunter Academy, Magnus said. I was a guest lecturer there. We ended up going home with Max.
Truly, said Ragnar, this is the culmination of your foolish dedication to rescuing people.
Magnus gave him an incredulous look.
You're the one to talk.
Not that I'm not grateful, Ragnar allowed.
That's not what I mean, Magnus said. I don't mean now. I mean you're one to talk because all those hundreds of years ago... You rescued me, you idiot.
The wind was picking up and worryingly growing hotter. They walked along the darkened streets, past empty black shells of buildings Magnus couldn't have identified. Presumably they corresponded to buildings in Shanghai, but here they resided in complete shadow and could barely be distinguished from the landscape around them. Ragnar said gruffly, "Well, at least that's one more warlock who will grow up with loving parents who know about Downworld." Magnus knew that coming from Ragnar, this was effusive praise. "Pity about the Shadow Hunter influence, though."
"Hey," said Magnus, "I was taught by the Silent Brothers, you know."
"Yes, and look how that turned out," said Ragnar. Magnus was silent for a time, and they walked. Even here in Hell, there was something companionable about walking alongside Ragnar, as he had done so many times before. Even with the thorn burning in his chest, even with no clear way back home.
"I'm going to marry Alec, you know," he said after a while.
Ragnar raised his eyebrows.
"When?"
"I don't know. Not yet. The Shadowhunters wouldn't acknowledge it, but we're hoping that will change."
"How would it change?" said Ragnar in a dismissive tone.
"Because we'll change it," said Magnus. Ragnar shook his head. He looked weary. Magnus suspected that at some point, the full horror of what he had done would strike Ragnar. Right now, he seemed insulated by shock.
"Where you got your hopefulness, I have no idea. I certainly didn't teach that to you."
"When we can get married and have it recognized, then we'll do it," said Magnus.
"Only then, when it's legal for me to marry Alec. For Tien to marry Jin Feng."
"For Xin Yun to marry Samael,"
Ragnar said dryly, and Magnus choked a laugh until they turned the next corner and the laugh was cut off. Ahead of them stood St. Ignatius. It was blowing away. Here, the hot wind they'd felt before was stronger. It danced around their heads and, whipped into a frenzy, tore pieces of the cathedral loose and hurled them up into the empty sky. Huge chunks of marble and brick tore free, making a racket of grinding, crashing, and scraping noises. One of the two spires was gone, disappeared into the whirlwind. But what really worried Magnus was the roof. The roof was missing. No, not missing. The roof was now in pieces, free-floating, huge boulders of tile and stone, as though some great creature had come and torn the church open like a child unwrapping a present. The chunks of roof hung in the wind, suspended and drifting. It was hard to tell for sure. But if Magnus squinted, he thought he could see a human figure flying around the rocks, swooping and climbing. Ragnar called,
"Alec!"
And Magnus looked back at the ground, where Alec, his Alec, was running full tilt toward them, soot on his face. He was yelling something, but Magnus couldn't make it out. Only as he got closer could he be understood.
"The swords!" he was yelling. "We need the swords!"
Chapter 18. Avicii. Alec didn't know what had become of his friends. He had been awoken by a tremendous sound, like an earthquake, and by the time he had made it up the stairs, the roof had been torn off the cathedral. Above him, against the inky black curtain of DU's sky, two figures cavorted. One of them was Xin Yun, who, in addition to her elongated limbs, had now sprouted a pair of broad insectal wings, iridescent and veined like a dragonfly's. She looped around the floating pieces of the cathedral's roof, clearly enjoying herself. The other figure was Samael. He was hard to miss, as he was now easily three times the size he'd been on the iron bridge, floating above Xin Yun and looking perfectly at home, suspended in the air. He peered into the cathedral from above, occasionally pushing away rocks that drifted into his vision. Alec had thought it would be unwise to run across the entire length of the cathedral, directly in view of Samael, to reach his friends. He had to hope that they were seeking some kind of safety. But where was Magnus? He had departed voluntarily, His clothes and shoes were gone, but why had he taken Alec's sword as well as his own? The wind, though it was not too strong for him to resist, seemed to be harming the church, which was beginning to come apart in pieces. Alec had known he had to get out of the building, skirting around to avoid being seen until he'd found a low enough opening in the rapidly decaying walls. He hurled himself through it in a forward roll, curled up to protect his head. He'd felt the hot, corrosive wind on him, and then he was clear. The Alliance rune had burned on his arm, and he had felt Magnus's presence not far away. He could see Magnus's glow in his mind, even through the dark and the wind. He ran toward that glow. Now he had reached Magnus, and to his surprise, Ragnar, who looked subdued and embarrassed at the sight of Alec. For a moment, Alec had worried that perhaps Magnus had been struck a third time by the thorn, that he was with Ragnar because, like Ragnar, he had been lost. But then, as he approached, Magnus and Ragnar began talking at the same time, and it was clear that Ragnar was out from under Samael's control somehow. Magnus explained quickly about the swords, that they had saved Ragnar, that they were now gone. When he finished, he hesitated to say, "Are you angry?" "Of course I'm not angry that you used the swords to save Ragnar," Alec said. "I'm a little angry that you didn't tell me you were leaving and didn't take me with you." "I didn't want to wake you," Magnus began, but Ragnar stopped him with a hand on his arm. "Domestic squabbles later," he said sharply. "Look!" He tilted his chin toward the church. Human figures, distant and small, were tumbling end over end upward in the wind of Samael's windstorm, becoming visible to Alec as they cleared the walls of the cathedral. Samael was gathering the Shadow Hunters to him, he realized, drawing them up to join him in the fire-tinged sky. Jace, Clary, Simon, Isabel, Tien, all of them identifiable more by the silhouettes they made with their weapons than anything else. "We had to get to them," Alec said. "We may not have a choice," said Magnus. And indeed, Alec felt the unpleasant hot wind lick at his body as well, wrap itself around his legs, tugging at him like insistent hands. "Hang on," said Magnus. "I'm going to..." The wind carried Alec up into the air, the horizon whirling around him in a dizzying rush. He had always wanted to be able to fly, but this was not at all how he'd imagined it. The currents of air swirled around him, spinning him like a top. He tried to reach for his seraph blade. It was thrust through his belt, but he couldn't get a grip on the hilt. Then, movement stopped. And while it took Alec a moment to reorient, he realized that he hung suspended in the air. The wind continued to whip around him, but he at least was no longer at its mercy. He looked around and realized that Magnus and Ragnar were still with him, or at least nearby. They also floated in the air. Magnus's hands were raised, his arms tensed, and crimson-white light poured from the centers of his palms. In the distance, the other Shadow Hunters still tumbled around and around like clothes in a dryer. Alec could tell it was taking all Magnus's strength to maintain his and Alec's stability. Xin Yun hovered nearby, watching but not engaging. Alec wondered why. Surely they were helpless. Surely if Samael wanted them eliminated, now would be the time. He turned again to look at Magnus. His worry must have shown, because Magnus made a series of head movements that Alec interpreted as conveying that he was doing his best, but that he couldn't reach the others with his magic from here. Samael was drifting over toward them, his hands folded in a mockery of prayer. He seemed totally unaffected by the wind, presumably because he was causing it. Stupid, Alec was thinking. Our plan was so stupid. Baiting Samael into fighting them would have been a terrible idea. He may have looked like a mild-mannered mundane. He may have talked like a game show host, but he was, of course, a supremely powerful demon. They were outmatched, Alec thought, and only Samael's lack of interest in killing them had kept them alive so far. It was a chilling thought. "Hey!" Samael said with a wave as he got closer to them.
How's everybody doing over here?
Before anyone could answer, not that Alec had any idea how to answer, Samael looked at Ragnar and jerked back in an exaggerated performance of surprise.
Holy cats, he explained. The thorn's gone. How did you pull off that little trick? He said to Magnus.
Ragnar, he went on. Didn't we have some good times? Weren't you looking forward to ruling the world with me? At least a little. Come on, you wanted to. A little bit. Ragnar looked unimpressed.
You kept me in a cage and stabbed me several times. I was hardly a willing recruit.
To be fair, said Samael, Shin Yun kept you in the cage. He turned back to Magnus.
I hope you aren't planning to try to remove the thorn from Shin Yun, too.
I don't think she wants it removed, said Magnus. Samael laughed.
You said it, buddy. I wasn't even going to thorn her, you know that? Did she tell you that? I thought, no way she could take it. But she insisted. Demanded it. Demanded from me, the greatest of all demons.
Second greatest, said Ragnar quietly. The Prince of Hell narrowed his eyes.
Well, we don't talk about him.
He looked over at Shin Yun, hovering near the still struggling Shadow Hunters a short distance away.
You know, he confided, if I let her, she'd just kill all of them.
Alec cleared his throat. So why won't you let her?
Oh, said Samael, because I came up with a plan. Just on the way over here, can you believe it? Popped right into my head.
He waved his arm, and far below them, the ground began to shake. For a moment, Alec wasn't sure what he was looking at, but then he began to grasp it. All around the cathedral's walls, fissures were opening in the ground. The cathedral itself tilted and shifted dangerously, and then, with a great crash, its front half and back half fell into one another with a tremendous crash. Dust and smoke began to rise into the burning wind. The cathedral didn't have time to fully collapse. While its walls were still lurching toward one another, the entire stretch of land around the cathedral fell, as though into a sinkhole. A slab of stone the size of a city block came loose from the streets around it, and the cathedral groaned and swayed and fell into the hole. With a dazed horror, Alec watched it fall, tumbling through a void like darkness. At the bottom of that void was a lake, red and black, like molten rock. The cathedral smashed into the lake of fire with a boom that went on and on. Jace, Isabel, and the others had stopped spinning. Alec could barely see them through the smoke, but they all seemed to be watching in silence as the church settled into its new position, halfway submerged in lava, one broken tower still jutting up at an angle like the hand of a drowning man. Alec looked over at Samael, who caught his eye and waggled his eyebrows. Alec looked farther over at Magnus, who continued to keep his hands up, holding the three of them, Alec, Ragnar, and Magnus, steady in the air. Now that the billow of dust was beginning to spread and drift, Alec could see that the lake below was not as featureless as he'd first thought. Around the sinking cathedral were tall columns of stone that rose high above the lake's surface, and here and there, stone platforms connected by bridges and staircases. The cathedral had smashed through some of this infrastructure, but a lot of it remained, now modified by the slabs of brick and marble that were all that remained of the church.
Behold, said Samael, the hell of the pit of fire.
An elaborate labyrinth of tortures where condemned souls try to maintain their footing on an ever-shifting tangle of connected platforms as they dip in and out of burning flames. I moved it under the cathedral here, just for funsies. Alec looked at the lake below him, Nothing appeared to be moving around the lake except the slowly dissipating dust cloud from the cathedral's impact. He looked back at Samael.
Well,
Samael said, it's not operational now, obviously. It's been closed for repairs for 150 years, give or take. That's the problem with DU. That's the problem, Ragnar, he snarled. It's supposed to generate all this demonic energy from the torment of souls, but the machinery is broken and the souls are gone, so none of it works. With those last words, he brought his hand down in a violent gesture, and the distant silhouettes that were Alec's friends went tumbling down, down, through the sinkhole, through the air, and came to a landing on top of the cathedral tower. Alec held his breath, but he didn't even need to search inside himself for his connection to Jace to know it was intact. The Shadow Hunters were clearly still alive, brought there safely by Samael. They clung to the tower and scuttled around it. They were much too far away for Alec to tell what was happening. Samael giggled and waved his other hand. Down by the lake, far below, three portals opened and tiny figures began to emerge from them. Demons, he thought, by the way they moved. He exchanged an alarmed look with Magnus.
You see, Samael said, as though conveying a wonderful secret. I figured it out. I can use their souls and make them fight some demons and use that power. It won't be a lot, nothing like what DU must have produced in its prime, but enough to make the portal I want. You still can't pass through to Earth, said Ragnar. The Taxiarch's warnings are intact.
Samael grinned merrily.
The portal isn't for me, he said. It's for DU.
What? Said Alec. It was all he could come up with in the moment. Samael rubbed his hands together.
That's right. I'll need the energy of all your friends' souls to open a portal the size of all Shanghai.
He did a little dance in the air.
I'm a genius. I seriously am. There wasn't enough energy in DU to break the Taxiarch's wardings, right? So I started to think, where can a guy get a big burst of evil energy like that? I was collecting all this information from Tien about enemy forces and where they're headquartered and all of that business, and then I realized, hey, I'm Samael. I'm the master of portals. I can send anything through a portal. So blam! Shanghai gone in an instant, and DU in its place. Or at least a chunk of DU the size of Shanghai. Oh, think about it. A whole human city swallowed up by a demon city. Absolutely guaranteed to provide me enough energy to break through the wards.
Can he do that? Magnus said to Ragnar. Swallow up the whole city?
Ragnar looked ill.
He's certainly going to try. Please, don't talk about me like I'm not here, sniffed Samael. It's very impolite.
He's also going to torture our friends. That's part of trying, Alec said to Magnus.
Magnus, send me down there.
No,
Samael said sharply.
If I wanted any of you down there with them, I would have sent you down there with them. We have unfinished business, he said to Magnus. Thorny business. But, he added with a wink, is there any other kind?
There was a loud noise, and Alec felt a rush of wind on his face. The lake of fire, the ruins of the cathedral, the rest of Shanghai's shadow surrounding the sinkhole, all went black. And for the second time in DU, Alec fell through nothing toward nothing, surrounded by nothing. This time he fell for only a few seconds, and when he stopped, he didn't land, really. He was floating in the air above the ruins of Xu Jiahui Cathedral. Then he was falling, and then he was standing somewhere else. He looked around. Magnus was here, and Ragnar, and looking a little puzzled, Xin Yun, and Samael, of course, who had thankfully returned to human size. As abandoned and broken down as the rest of DU was, this place seemed to have been forgotten entirely. It had the silence of a tomb that had been sealed for thousands of years and was never intended to be opened again. In a realm of abandoned chasms, Alec knew, felt in his body, that this was the deepest and most lonesome. Up close, Xin Yun really was looking very spidery, Alec thought. Her limbs elongated and multiply jointed, her face narrowed, sharpened. Her lack of expression was always uncanny, but now that her movements seemed less human, it gave her the look of an alien creature studying them, trying to decide whether to crush them. Her lambent eyes peered at them in the dark, her head tilting back and forth like a snake examining its prey. Not that Magnus was looking much better. His eyes were larger than normal and seemed to glow of their own accord. The chains that bound him were starkly clear on his arms and the spiked circles harsh on his palms. He seemed elongated too, in almost serpentine fashion, taller and skinnier than he'd been. It was remarkable, Alec thought, that Ragnar was by far the most human-seeming person here other than himself, and he had actual horns on his head. Alec had no further time for observations, because Xin Yun started yelling.
"The Svevendon cried out!"
she called into the echo of the vast empty space they found themselves in.
"It told me it has been insulted, disrespected, injured."
Her gaze found Ragnar, who gazed at her with loathing.
"Ragnar, why would you do this? Why would you reject the greatest of gifts?"
"If I recall," Ragnar said, as if the effort to speak was almost too much for him, "I turned down your gift, and it was given to me anyway without my consent. I think you'll find that isn't what most people mean when they say gift."
"Now, now, welcome," interrupted Samael.
His constant, ebullient tone was starting to fray Alec's nerves.
"Welcome to Avicii."
Alec looked at Magnus. Magnus nodded slightly, as though this was what he'd expected. It wasn't what Alec had expected at all. What he knew of Avicii was that it was DU's lowest hell, the one reserved for only the worst offenders. Given what he knew of hell dimensions, he'd expected fire, molten lava, the screams of sinners burning in the purifying flames, or ice, perhaps, an endless expanse with souls frozen, unmoving for all time. Avicii was just empty. They were standing on something, surely, but that something was black and featureless, indistinguishable as any particular material. It was nothing. Not rough, not smooth, not level, not undulating. In all directions around them, it stretched on and on. Forever. At the horizon, only the faintest of blurry haze marked the change from land to sky, the same empty sky that surrounded all of DU. Perhaps the punishment of Avicii was just to be here, alone, with no sounds, no sights, no wind blowing, only bare floor and bare sky. Just you and your mind. Until your mind inevitably fizzed and burned and melted.
"I know what you're thinking,"
Samael said. He threw out his arms and adopted a look of puzzlement. Where's all the stuff? Alec exchanged a glance with Magnus. When I got here, I thought that too, Samael went on. I thought, ooh, very clever, very good. The worst punishment for the worst sinners isn't, he gestured upward, presumably indicating all the other hells, having your tongue ripped out or being run over with wagons or boiled in cauldrons. It's just to be here with yourself and nothing else, right? But then, he continued, I got to talking to some of the locals, and I learned that that wasn't it at all. This was Yan Luo's workshop. This was his atelier. He made it empty so he could bring to it anything he wanted, because those who came here had earned customized tortures. He laughed that grating false laugh. That's right. For the VIP clients, Yan Luo believed in getting in there and getting his hands dirty himself. Some of the demons say that he made it such a lightless black, so that no matter what he did here, how much he dismantled human bodies, how much he maimed and lacerated and butchered, nothing would ever stain Avicii. He threw his arms out again. It's all stain. You see? He said with pleasure. Alex said, so it doesn't stay empty? You bring things in, like torture things? Samael looked offended. I don't do anything, he said. Or at least I haven't. I didn't make this realm, you know. Blame Yan Luo for how it works. Do I seem like I would make my deepest hell a big blank space? I'm really much more the waterfalls of blood, abstract sculpture of viscera type. But to answer your question, yes. The excellent thing about Avicii is that I can bring in whatever I want. For instance, I can stick this Quisling in a cage where he belongs. A theatrical wave of his hands and spikes of wrought iron shot up around Ragnar. It was fast, but Alec was surprised that Ragnar didn't even move as the cage closed around him. Ragnar, Magnus said, you're still a warlock, come on. You don't have to let him just capture you. Ragnar tilted his eyes toward Magnus, and Alec was astonished by the depth of self-loathing he saw reflected there. I can't, he said. I deserve this, Magnus. That's not the way things work, Magnus said, clearly frustrated. You can make up for what you've done, but not like this. Not by letting yourself be trapped. I told you, said Ragnar. I've betrayed myself too much now. Gone too far. Done too many things that can't be undone. Samael looked back and forth between them, visibly entertained. The iron bars closed over Ragnar's head with a clanging sound. He barely seemed to even register their presence, looking purposelessly into the middle distance. All right, said Samael, as though he'd been waiting for the Ragnar situation to be dealt with. The book, if you please, Xin Yun. Xin Yun looked around as if unsure of herself. Ragnar had it. Samael rubbed his forehead with his hand. In other words, he said, now Magnus has it.
Maybe not, Magnus suggested. Maybe it's still back at Ragnar's place.
Samael gave him a withering look, and Magnus shrugged. Worth a try. Please, Samael said to Xin Yun, go get my book back. Her dragonfly's wings quivering on her back, Xin Yun walked toward them. Magnus held up one hand, scarlet light blossoming from its center. I'm not giving you the book, Xin Yun. Xin Yun kept approaching.
Magnus, I know you.
I know both of you, she added, nodding to Alec. You believe in mercy. You believe in forgiveness. You believe in not doing things that you can't take back. Alec was watching Samael, who stood a little apart from the rest of them, his arms folded, watching with keen interest. It was strange. Alec was sure Samael could do any number of terrible things to them, or just turn Magnus upside down and shake him until the book fell out. But he didn't. He was happy to let Xin Yan do the work, even though she was much less powerful than him. It occurred to Alec that most of the powerful people he'd fought were at pains to demonstrate that power. Valentine, Sebastian, Xin Yan herself, Lilith. They wanted respect. They wanted fear. Samael didn't seem to care about any of that. As if his power was so great that he didn't care if it was disrespected. As if, in his mind, his victory was so inevitable, so assured, that the question of the Book of the White was only of minor interest.
You won't attack me, said Xin Yan, unless I attack you first. So what will you do when I close the distance between us?
She was staring at Magnus.
And try to take the book. Will you run? There's nowhere to run. Or will you let me take it, like you let me pierce your heart with the thorn?
Magnus looked at Xin Yan unhappily. Then a bolt of crimson lightning burst from his palm, and Xin Yan flew backward, struck by the force of his magic.
Wow! Said Samael. Did you see that?
Xin Yan was right. Magnus didn't want to attack her. He wanted her to understand that there were ways of making things happen other than violence and its threat. He had given her a chance. He had given her, he thought, probably too many chances. Xin Yan didn't want to learn. She didn't want to change. He was heartbroken at how lost she was. Filled with compassion for this warlock who had learned too early that the world only pays attention to brute strength, that empathy was weakness. But that didn't mean he was going to let her get close enough to him to take the book, or stab him with the Svefenthorn again. She wasn't expecting the first burst from his hand and fell back. Alec charged toward her, reaching for his seraph blade, but she quickly regained her footing and shot up into the air. She flung her magic at Alec, and a huge blast of it drove him to one knee. Xin Yan came screaming down at Alec, the Svefenthorn drawn like a rapier, ready to strike. Magnus knocked the thorn aside with his own wave of energy, and Alec rolled out of the way. Magnus reached out to summon something, anything from elsewhere in DU, a sword from a fallen Baiguqing warrior, the chair from Ragnar's temple, a chunk of masonry from a crumbled hell court. Nothing came. Apparently, the power to summon things to Avicii was Samael's alone. Magnus was sure that if Xin Yan could, she would be summoning demons and lava and who could guess what else. Samael had picked an excellent place to leave Magnus at a disadvantage. Most warlock magic wasn't about channeling raw power into violent force, but about manipulating the world to your own advantage. But here there was no world to manipulate, and unlike him, Xin Yan had a weapon. Alec was on his feet now. His seraph blade was in his hand. He shot a look of contempt at Samael.
Michael,
he said. And as the sword blazed up with holy flame, Samael visibly flinched at the sound of the archangel's name. Magnus felt a wave of pride. Not everyone could diss a prince of hell so artfully. Blade in hand, Alec lunged at Xin Yan from behind, and she took off into the air again, swooping around in a wide arc. At its height, she drew an elaborate, many-pointed star in the air with the Svefenthorn, and flames poured from it. Magnus rapidly threw up spells of protection, and the fire bounced harmlessly off Alec. But Xin Yan was still circling, and soon she would find a new opening. Magnus looked at Alec and then up at Xin Yan.
Go, Alec said urgently. I'll be fine.
The strength of the Alliance rune, and Alec's faith, and the thorn humming through him, Magnus took to the air himself.
The more you use your magic, Xinyan said to him, the closer you get to losing yourself completely. The changes will accelerate. In the void above Avicii, Magnus fought Xinyan. She was determined to attack Alec, recognizing that he was the more vulnerable target and also knowing that Magnus would protect him above all else. Magnus flew defensively, getting in Xinyan's way, blocking her magic, distracting her. But with the full power of the thorn behind her, Xinyan was more than a match for him. And Alec couldn't touch Xinyan unless she got close, which she was clearly not about to do. Worse, as he fought, Magnus could feel the magic of the thorn flowing in and through him. It gave him power, but power that was alien to him, something separate from him. He could feel its hunger, its desire to fill him until inevitably it replaced him.
If you just gave yourself to the thorn, Xinyan yelled in frustration, there'd be no need for any of this.
Yes, Magnus said through gritted teeth. That's kind of the whole point.
They grappled there in the empty sky, neither able to attain a real advantage over the other.
Xinyan, Samael called. I notice you haven't gotten the book back yet. Do you need some help?
No,
said Xinyan angrily. Magnus took the opportunity to knock her off balance. I don't know, said Samael. It sure looks like Magnus is keeping it away from you. Let me just give you a hand.
No,
screamed Xinyan again. But Samael was already reaching out with his hand, and while he remained where he was, it grew and extended and grabbed hold of Magnus, plucking him from the sky and smashing him down into the rough plain of Avicii. One moment, Magnus was flying towards Xinyan, and the next, he was on his knees on the ground next to Samael. Samael was leaning his hand, now normal size again, on Magnus's shoulder in a casual, avuncular fashion, but Magnus found he was unable to move from its grip.
You're cheating, he said, looking up at Samael.
Samael frowned, seeming puzzled.
My dear curse, how could you still think we were playing a fair game here?
Magnus spun around, Samael's hand biting hard into his shoulder. The breath left Magnus's body in a single hard exhale.
No,
he thought, and then,
I should have known.
Xinyan had hold of Alec. She stood behind him, grasping him around the neck with her arm and holding the point of the Svefenthorn to his chest. His seraph blade lay in front of him, guttering like a spent match. His face was impassive, his blue eyes steady. He could have been looking out over a beautiful landscape or studying a subway map. Magnus had seen Alec frightened, had seen him in every phase of vulnerability, clear and open as a summer sky, but Alec would never show such a thing before Xinyan and Samael.
Oh, interesting, said Samael with delight.
Magnus!
Xinyan's voice was hoarse and cracked.
I demand that you take the third blow from the Svefenthorn. I demand it, or I will kill the thing you love best.
Her eyes were wild, monstrous, more inhuman than ever. She twisted the point of the Svefenthorn against Alec's ribs, over his heart, and Magnus felt it like a stab to his own gut. The thorn was warlock magic. There was no way it could be anything but death for a shadow hunter. He had no options left. If he took the thorn, Xinyan won. He'd become a willing minion of Samael, and maybe the whole world would be destroyed. If he refused the thorn, Alec would be murdered before his eyes. He himself would die, and Samael would go on toward the war he wanted.
"Will you spare Alec?" he said quietly. "Promise you'll let Alec go, and I'll do it."
She glanced at Samael. He shrugged.
"You have my permission.
It's not like this one shadow hunter poses any real threat.
I can't guarantee his safety once the invasion of Earth starts, of course, he added. That's a different story. Magnus nodded. Alec was looking at him, his gaze still steady, still unreadable. Magnus wondered what would become of his love for Alec after the thorning. Would it vanish, like it had never been? Would he love only Samael? Or would he still love Alec, but demand that he also turn to Samael's side? But the choice between him and Alec both definitely dying, and only one of them dying, was no choice at all. Max was waiting at home. Better one parent than no parent. The calculus of it was self-evident, the conclusion inevitable. Before Xin Yun could act, though, Alec was moving. He was reaching out, and he was wrapping his hand around the blade of the Svefenthorn, and he was grimacing with effort and resolve, and he was thrusting the Svefenthorn into his own chest, piercing his own heart. From where he knelt, Magnus could see the thorn run all the way through him, emerge through his back, and remain there. Alec's eyes were still open, still wide, still staring right at Magnus. Magnus opened his mouth to scream, and crimson magic exploded from Alec's chest, from his back, a blinding flash that turned the permanent night of Avicii briefly to day. In the glare, beyond sight, still under the iron grip of Samael's hand, all Magnus could see of Alec were his eyes, clear and bright and filled with love. Chapter 19. The Endless Way. By his nature, Alec didn't like acting on hunches. He liked to study a situation, make a plan, and execute the plan. It got him teased by Jace, by Isabel, who both believed in jumping off a cliff and somehow sewing a parachute on the way down. They acted on instinct, and usually it turned out all right. But Alec didn't have the same kind of faith in his own instincts. He believed in gathering intelligence, doing research, being prepared. To be fair, Isabel and Jace also believed in those things. They just believed other people should do them because they were boring. This was a fine strategy for most shadow hunting missions, but sometimes it all fell apart. Sometimes there was a no-win situation where your only choice appeared to be between dying one way and dying a different way. DU and Samael and Xin Yun had all confounded Alec's ability to organize and plan. Xin Yun's motivations were so confused and contradictory that Alec was sure she herself didn't understand them. DU was a surreal ruin, and Samael acted as though it was all just a distracting game, as though nothing they did could have any meaningful effect. For this whole mission, they'd been working on hunches, mostly Magnus's hunches, a hunch that Peng Fang would know something about the warlocks in the market, a hunch that the cathedral would be in DU and would be safe, a hunch that the Heibai Wuchang could be used to save Ragnar. So Alec had acted on an intuition of his own and asked Magnus if they could use the Alliance rune. Now, faced with the choice of losing Magnus in one fashion or losing him in another, he acted, plunging the Svefenthorn into his own heart. He only had time to register the surprise on Xin Yun's face before everything exploded. Crimson light burst, so intense it whited out Alec's vision. He felt a harsh, burning energy pour into him, caustic and alien in his chest. He could feel his runes heating up, as if by friction, as if abraded by the demonic magic of the thorn, like a meteor falling through the upper atmosphere. All except the Alliance rune, which sizzled on his arm. The power of Samael and the power of Raziel battled within his own body, but he could feel the Alliance rune absorbing the friction, smoothing it, teaching the different magics to cooperate. Alec's vision was beginning to clear. He could see the desolate black space of Avicii, the tableau of Shinyun, Samael, Magnus all watching him, Magnus's face a mask of horror. "I'm alive," Alec realized. He was a little surprised. Shinyun jerked the thorn back. She looked nearly as horrified as Magnus as the thorn slid free of Alec's body. It was painless. There was no blood on the thorn, and when Alec glanced down, he saw no mark on himself to show where it had pierced him. Shinyun had staggered back. She held the Svefenthorn out in front of her, staring. It glowed red, like iron heated in fire. And with some astonishment, Alec saw that the thorn's glow was visible to him in Magnus and Shinyun, too. In each of their chests hung a miniature star, a fireball made of magic, spinning madly behind the wounds the thorn had made. Shinyun's fireball was somewhat larger than Magnus's, but more importantly, a thick rope of magic extended out of Shinyun's wound, terminating in the middle of Samael's own chest. Magnus had no such rope connecting him to Samael, presumably because he had not suffered the third strike from the thorn. Alec shivered. He could feel the magic leaving his body, his alliance rune cooling. He had to act before it was gone completely. Still kneeling, he flung his hand out toward Magnus and called the thorn's power to him. It was like trying to restrain a wild horse. The fireball in Magnus jerked, leaped, shook. Beyond the realm of conscious thought, Alec reached out to it, soothed it, coaxed it. And with a gentle motion, he tore it from the tendrils of Magnus's own magic that held it in place, the magic he knew, blue and cool and beloved. He reached, and the fireball left Magnus's body. As soon as it was freed, it expanded in size, becoming the only illuminating star in Avicii's sky. It spun above them all, a fireball several feet wide, crackling with power. Alec could feel its instability, its desire to find a new resting place. It yearned to be within his own chest, but without another wound from the Svefenthorn, it would find no purchase in him. So for a moment, it spun freely, and for a moment, all of them present only stared. Samael recovered first. Of course. He had taken his hand off Magnus's shoulder and was looking up at the orb. Magnus remained on his knees.
"Excellent," Samael said, laughing. "Great work. I love an unexpected turn, don't you?"
He seemed to address this question to Ragnar, who didn't lift his head to acknowledge any of what was going on. Samael squinted up at the orb.
"Shinyun, if you could be a deer and grab that thing and bring it to me, we can get on with our plans."
Shinyun was also watching the orb. She didn't respond.
"Hello," Samael said after a moment. "Shinyun Zhang, my loyal lieutenant, get the orb."
When Shinyun turned around, she wasn't looking at Samael. She was looking at Magnus, staring at him, white-hot hatred in her eyes.
"I will never understand you," she said,
in a quiet tremor that suggested she was barely keeping herself from a complete meltdown.
"Never have I seen someone so determined to throw away their birthright. We are warlocks, Magnus Bane. We are the children of Ririth."
Alec tried to ignore the frothing magic boiling through his body and focus on Magnus. He could feel the rotating sphere of magic above them. Magnus had been looking at it, a little dazed, but now his attention was on Shinyun as she stalked toward him, her wings out and twitching dangerously.
"The power of the thorn is the greatest gift that a warlock can receive," she said through gritted teeth. "It is the power of our father, our actual father, Magnus. Not just the demon that made us individually, the one without whom our race would not exist at all." I found that power. I offered you that power. Despite all you did, despite your rejection of Asmodeus, you showed me mercy. And this is how I repaid you.
Her voice broke with anguish.
And this is how you repay me.
Shinyan,
Samael said, a hint of alarm creeping into his jovial voice. I get that you and Magnus have some unresolved stuff, but really, he's irrelevant to the larger plan. Magnus looked over at Samael. Well, that hurts a little. Samael threw up his hands and affected a bewildered look.
I didn't even know you existed. I mean, once I understood that you were Asmodeus's eldest curse and already had two thorns in you, well, I wasn't about to just ignore the possibility of your service.
So I wasn't part of your plans at all? Magnus said, incredulous.
But you went after my oldest friend and the warlock who tried to drag me into Asmodeus's control 3 years ago.
You'll forgive me, said Samael. If I think of Ragnar Fell as the most knowledgeable expert alive on the subject of dimensional magic first and your oldest friend second. As for Shinyan, she came to me.
Magnus looked helplessly over at Ragnar, who shrugged. Shaking his head, Samael said,
I don't know how to tell you this, but not everything is about you, Magnus.
As for you, Shinyan, he said, reaching out toward the orb,
I'm very disappointed in you.
Everybody shut up!
Shinyan yelled, and even Samael seemed startled. The orb had been drifting toward Samael's open hand. Shinyan suddenly shot up from the ground, her new wings flapping, and caught the orb out of the air as if it were a basketball. Samael said,
Shinyan,
sternly this time. She cast one wild glance at him, then thrust her hand forward, punching through the surface of the orb. At once it emitted a high-pitched shriek and began to deflate like a balloon. Alex slapped his hands over his ears and realized, no, not deflating. The six-pointed wound over Shinyan's heart was absorbing the magic, drawing it in like a deep inhale. As they all watched, the orb grew smaller and more oblong until, with a popping noise, the entirety of it disappeared into Shinyan.
Uh-oh, muttered Samael.
Shinyan hovered motionless where the magic had been, glowing with crimson fire. After a moment, she began to emit a strange shaking sound. After another moment, she threw back her head, and Alec realized she was laughing, a dreadful laugh, a cackle of rage and mockery. Her face began to crack. Lines appeared, spreading from her mouth into her cheeks, fissures opening around her eyes and on her forehead and down her chin. The planes of her face began to separate, and Alec felt his stomach drop. Shinyan's features separated, broke, snapped, like something behind the mask of her face was punching its way out. With a great roar of triumph, inhuman and ancient, she burst. In a shattering of limbs and lines and eyes and wings and teeth. Her eyes were now twice the size they had been, and Shinyan herself twice the height. Her limbs spread like a great water insect's, and her wings, now a dark blood red, flapped slowly behind her. Her face, no longer frozen in place by the arbitrary maledictions of the warlock Mark, twisted in glee. Her teeth were bright and sharp, with a pair of fangs, like a tarantula's. At her back was a long whip-like tail, and at the end of the tail, a nasty-looking iron barb. The Svefenthorn itself. Alec watched in horrified fascination. Shinyan had become the thing she loved most. A demon. A greater demon, Alec was sure. She screamed that unearthly scream again, and the ground of Avicii began to shake below their feet.
Shinyan!
Samael called.
Marvelous new look! I think maybe we've gotten a little off task, though. If you'll just come down, and we can decide what to do with...
In a flash of motion, Shinyan was hovering above Samael and Magnus, her tail flicking dangerously back and forth.
I thought you were the ultimate power, she said to Samael.
Her voice was still recognizably her own, though it was slashed through with high-pitched scratches and a kind of skittering that Alec realized was her breathing.
But you aren't.
Samael looked offended. If you know of a demon more powerful than me, feel free to let me know so I may pay him homage.
You may be the greatest of the princes of hell,
Shinyan spat.
But you are so much weaker than I realize. You are as dependent on others as these idiot humans.
She gestured with a clawed hand at the others.
You depended on the Diu. You depended on the souls being tormented to give you power. You depended on me.
If you've decided that Samael of all people is not powerful enough for you, Magnus shook his head. You're one hard-to-please lady, you know that?
Apparently, of all of the beings here, Shinyan said, I'm the only one who understands true power. True power is to depend on no one, on nothing. If I cannot trust anyone else to rule over me, then I will rule myself, and I will rule alone.
With that, she circled upward, away from them. She opened her mouth and exhaled a wide cone of crimson light into the dark. When the glare cleared, it formed a portal. The surface, a silver mirror, whose destination Alec couldn't make out. With a last scream, Shinyan flew through the portal, which closed around her, and was gone. The ground was rumbling even harder now. Alec noticed that at some point he'd fallen and was crouched on the ground. Magnus was making his way over to join him, moving carefully on the suddenly uneven terrain. Samael looked around with some disappointment.
Well, that's it for Diu, I guess.
She's going to bring the whole place down around us, he sighed. That's how the cookie crumbles, I suppose.
Magnus had reached Alec. He was helping him up. Alec was only dimly aware the whole world was shaking around him, shaking and wobbling, or possibly he was shaking and wobbling. He looked up to see that Samael had come over to join them for some reason.
Magnus, I'm sorry we aren't going to be working together, and I'm sorry you both are going to die in the deepest pit in DU when miles and miles of underground city and courts and temples come crashing down on top of you. He frowned. Come to think of it, I have no idea what'll happen to humans if they die in a dimension for the already dead. Well, whatever awaits you, good luck with your future endeavors, if you turn out to have any.
You're just leaving? Alec said. Samael looked surprised.
Did I not make that clear? I have to go find another realm.
He shrugged and added almost to himself,
what an unusual several days it's been.
Then, blipping out as though he'd never been there, he was gone. The moment Samael vanished, Magnus dropped to his knees beside Alec. He pulled Alec toward him almost violently, pressing his hand over Alec's chest, pushing aside the collar of Alec's shirt so he could reach the place the thorn had pierced him and run his fingers over it. There was no wound, no indication that anything had happened to Alec at all, and most of his runes seemed normal. The Alliance rune, however, had disappeared entirely. Magnus continued stroking Alec's chest where the thorn had entered until Alec, with effort, said,
Not here, my love. Ragnar is watching us.
A sound broke from Magnus's chest, half laugh and half sob. He grasped Alec's hair in one hand and showered kisses all over his face, crying and laughing at once. Alec's eyes were open, and reflected in that midnight blue, Magnus saw a gleam of gold. His own eyes watching Alec in return.
"That was very brave what you did," Magnus said. "Also completely reckless."
Alec smiled weakly. "I've been working on being more brave and reckless. I found a really great example to follow."
"We can't both be brave and reckless," Magnus said. "Who will watch out for us?"
"Eventually, Max, I hope," said Alec with a grin.
"If you two have a moment," Ragnar's voice came drifting through the void. "Do you think you could stop mooning over each other and get me out of this cage?"
Alec's look of love suddenly turned to alarm.
"Magnus, the others, the hell of the pit of fire!"
Magnus jumped up.
"Oh, it never ends, does it?" he said.
He ran over to Ragnar, who was sitting grumpily cross-legged on the ground, tapping impatiently at the bars of his prison. Magnus reached for his magic, and he felt a woozy disorientation, like missing the last step on a staircase. There was an emptiness in his chest, and while he knew that the thorn's power had come from a terrible enemy, the enemy of all humans, he understood why Xin Yun had clung to it, had allowed herself to be warmed and comforted by it. It wasn't love, but if you didn't know the difference, it might have felt like love. With a few gestures, he shattered the bars of Ragnar's cage and helped him to his feet. Ragnar looked at Magnus for a minute, then turned to look past him and said,
"That was very stupid."
Alec was making his way over to them, a little slow but walking steadily. When he got close, Magnus put his arm around his waist.
"Well, maybe I need to make more thorough introductions here."
He cleared his throat.
"Ragnar? This is Alec Lightwood, my boyfriend and co-parent. He just saved my life, and by extension, yours. Alec, this is Ragnar Fell. He is a terrible jerk to everybody, even when he's not under the mind control of a prince of hell."
"I've heard a lot about you," Alec said.
"I haven't heard about anything for years, except creepy evil plans to rule the world," Ragnar said. "But now that I'm back from that, I expect Magnus will bore me to tears with stories from my absence."
He looked at Alec again.
"How did you survive the thorning?"
"Anyone who wasn't a warlock should have died from the overflow of demonic magic. And there aren't any warlocks who are shadow hunters except..."
He peered suspiciously at Alec.
"You aren't Tessa Gray in disguise, are you? This isn't some elaborate prank you've been playing on poor Magnus. If it is, Tessa, you and I are going to have words."
"Of course not,"
Alec said, offended. Ragnar squinted even harder at him. Magnus sighed.
"I've been in the same room with both of them, Ragnar. He's definitely not Tessa."
"Then how?"
"Later," said Magnus.
Only then did he fully grasp how much Ragnar had missed and how much more he needed to be told. The Alliance rune, the Mortal War, the Dark War, and smaller, more personal things. Malcolm Fade was the High Warlock of Los Angeles. Katarina was still in New York, for now. One thing at a time.
"Ragnar," he said, "can you get us to the Hell of the Pit of Fire, where the other Shadow Hunters are? We need to try to save them."
Ragnar shook his head.
"I'm sure it's too late," he said. "But I'll open the portal and we'll see. At least we can take whatever's left of them back to Earth."
Alec looked stricken. Magnus patted him on the shoulder.
"Don't take it too seriously," he said. "Ragnar's just like that."
Ragnar twiddled his fingers, the extra joint on each of them making his movements intricate and alien even to Magnus. Within a moment, a door opened in the nothingness of Avicii, through which orange flames leaped against black rock. It seemed to be quaking in the same way Avicii was. Magnus looked to Alec.
Are you ready to fight again?
Not really, Alec said, drawing his seraph blade from his belt. But here we go.
Right.
Magnus charged through, and Alec followed close behind. They emerged onto a rocky platform suspended high above the lava pools below. A stone staircase led down to more platforms and the rest of the labyrinthine landscape. Magnus was not happy to note that nothing was visibly keeping their platform in the air, and the earthquake that was rumbling through DU was even stronger here.
Okay, said Alec, let's save our friends.
Or what's left of your friends, Ragnar muttered.
Wait, where are your friends?
They seemed to be scattered. Far below them, on a fairly broad plain, Simon, Clary, and Tien were fighting some of Diu's various demons. Separated from them and somewhat elevated was Isabel, and even higher, on a separate platform, was Jace. Alec looked puzzled.
What's going on?
Well, Jace's foot was broken, so I guess they found a safe place for him, offered Magnus.
And why is Isabel by herself?
Exhausted by magic, he might have been, but Alec still jogged down the staircase ahead of them, weapon at the ready. Ragnar gave Magnus a look.
You're not going to jog, are you?
Magnus raised one eyebrow.
In these shoes?
They descended the staircase, and the one after that, with the decorum appropriate to warlocks who had defeated a prince of hell that day. Or at least, they had been in the same place as a prince of hell, and they had made him leave first. By the time they reached Jace, Alec had clearly already exchanged some words with him and looked much less concerned.
So you haven't all been devoured yet, I see, said Ragnar.
No, they've got it all under control,
Alec said, excited. He gestured at Jace.
Tell him!
Jace looked at him sideways.
I was about to.
We've got it all under control, he went on.